Big news! The new Sprint LTE Plus network is faster than Verizon and AT&T based on analysis of a recent study by Nielsen. And to celebrate, we're inviting you to join Sprint for the biggest offer in U.S. wireless history. Switch to Sprint and save 50% on most Verizon, AT&T, or T-Mobile rates. Yep, you heard that right. No gimmicks, no tricks. You have Verizon 6 gigs for $60, 30 with Sprint. And if you have 15 gigs for $100 from AT&T, 50 with Sprint. Even if you have T-Mobile's 10 gigs for $80, we'll give it to you for 40. And we won't force you to watch video in low def. Oh, and one more thing. Thanksgiving through Cyber Monday, don't miss the half-price lease on the 32-gig Samsung Galaxy S6, only $9 a month. Visit a Sprint store or sprint.com/save50%.
Offer coverage not available everywhere or for discounted phones. Excludes taxes, surcharges, roaming, and premium content. Subject to new line $36 activation fee. Credit valid for it. Galaxy S6 requires 24-month lease for well-qualified buyers. No security deposit. If you cancel, remaining device payments or due plans may not be exact match. See website for eligible plans. Offer ends 1/7/16. Savings through 1/8/18. Exclusions and restrictions apply.
Ghosts and Bigfoot. Oh my. It's just another night for Supernatural Girls. Real stories, real answers to life's biggest supernatural mysteries. And now for another exciting interview with paranormal experts from this world and others. Here's your host, paranormal researcher Patricia Baker, on the one, the only Supernatural Girls.
Welcome, everyone, to another exciting episode of Supernatural Girls Radio. I'm your host, Patricia Baker, and I am here with my co-host, world-renowned numerologist. I got that word out this time. Ooh. Patricia Kirkman. We also call her on the show PK, because there's a lot of Patricias here. Right. So, PK, how are you doing today?
Absolutely fabulous. It's been a wonderful day here. It was beautiful outside all day. It was in the high 60s, low 70.
Oh.
I hated to sit in the sun and do that, but.
Gosh, somebody had to do it, you know?
Sure beats a couple days ago when we were watching, wrapping our pipes because of freezing. It's crazy.
Really? Well, it's a little chilly here, I got to tell you, even though it's still warmer than normal temperatures for us here in New England. Today It rained and the fog was so thick. Oh my God, I couldn't see my hand in front of my face. Really thick fog up here tonight. Perfect UFO material.
I was going to say, yeah.
Hey, love
take
that.
Some pictures.
Oh yeah. Got my cameras all set. Good. So maybe they'll show up. I don't know. It would be exciting.
They should.
I know. And speaking of that, we've got some really cool paranormal news I wanted to share. Now, this story's been around for a while, but it was kind of new to me. And PK, I shared it with you this afternoon because I thought it was just so incredibly cool. And what it's about is that NASA apparently detected, intercepted, and decoded a mathematically based distress signal from a doomed planet outside our own galaxy. Now, the signal was detected in January of 98, but it took them years to get to the point of decoding this. So when they did, they claimed that this was a civilization that had already peaked and was actually dying. And it was during the same time when saber-toothed tigers still roamed our planet. So this 80,000-year-old SOS was received and digitally recorded in late January 1998. But then they were eventually, many years later, able to decode the mathematically based language and translated this as a frantic plea for help. So apparently this civilization was much like ours. It had very limited ability for space travel. And they had gone nuclear, and people were being wiped out from that and terminal illness. And they crafted this frantic plea for help. Now, World News reported it, and because World News tends to be like a tabloid, people didn't take it seriously. But then apparently there were two other scientific journals that addressed this. And I also have a friend who used to work for NASA. you know, just one of those amazingly high IQs. And I checked with her on it. She said, you know, no matter what they say, that yes, this really did happen. So it's an interesting thing that still has a lot of mystery around it. And one of the caveats here is they are not sure if this is a signal that came from our future and bounced back also. I mean, they just don't know. Was this us that had sent a message out and it bounced back? I mean, who knows? They're still trying to figure all this out. And of course, as you know, PK, NASA hasn't been real forthcoming with us on a number of issues.
But how could you say that about them?
Hush my mouth. But no, I just think it's a fascinating story. What if there was a planet out there that sent this type of distress signal? Is it a lesson for us, especially in today's world? So it was just a fascinating story I wanted to share. I also posted it on Facebook, so people can see that on our Supernatural Girls page. Make sure you go there, give us a like, follow us on Twitter so that you can keep in touch with all the stuff we're posting and doing. It's really fun and exciting. So, but Patricia, what a day today. California got hit with a
scary,
horrible. Oh,
absolutely
horrible.
Scary.
Now, let's talk about the numbers of this. What was going on in numerologically that could have created?
Well, it's a four universal day, and fours tend to bring out a lot of anger and frustration in people, depending on their own personal things. But universally, it's a four, which deals with details of things. But a lot of people hold in things, and we're in a two universal month, which is all about our sensitivity. So overly sensitive, dealing with angers, wow, it's scary.
So it's just the right combination for an explosion like this that we
saw.
For
people that aren't working with both oars in the water, yes.
Mm. It's just terrible. So tell me then, what about the rest of us? What can we expect coming up? We survived today. Praise God. Now we're going into tomorrow. What does tomorrow look like?
Well, tomorrow's going to be pretty neat. It's going to be some freedom and seeking of personal pleasure on the part of most of us. And it's going to be kind of a shop till you drop, fun stuff that people want to buy. And it's going to be very uplifting and making you feel good. Gather with friends or for sharing of ideas, food and drink. And kind of sounds like the start of a party if you want it to be. But do watch your driving because you can't help but do things in a hurry. And we don't want it to be on a wing and a prayer, if you know what I mean.
Definitely.
Know that things may change rapidly tomorrow, but it's going to be so ready for things to take place, the changes that we need. And there is a tendency for a luck factor to be going on with it. So if that be the case, we've got opportunity. But like anything else, we're all overly sensitive this month. And with it, the holidays, and so many things happen of letting go at this time of year, which makes it very difficult for many.
That is a hard time of year to think that way of letting go. Mm-hmm. And I think it's just tumultuous throughout the world right now. And in this country, we have not escaped it.
No.
Here it is right in our own backyard, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. So it is helpful to hear from you, the energies at play and what we need to be aware of, what's coming up. So tomorrow sounds like it could be a cool day.
Yes, people can breathe easier or a little easier. None of us are going to be thrilled with what's taking place at this point in time because of all the things that are happening around us. We can't escape that. We're all a part of it, whether we're involved in it personally or it's the outer perimeter that we're looking at. And it's scary to see how a few people can destroy so many.
Yes, and really compromise our way of life. Mm-hmm. You know, here we could be sitting anywhere or enjoying any activity, and there's somebody there to disrupt it. Let's send our prayers to the people in San Bernardino that were so horribly affected by this, and let's pray for some type of safety and resolution to all of this.
That'd be nice.
Yes.
That'd be nice.
And we've got a great guest that you found for us because—
Wow.
You were introduced to this wonderful guest out in Tucson.
Right.
His name is Peter Anthony, and he is a psychic medium. He is a crime solver using his psychic abilities. And he's with us tonight to share his near-death experience. He's been to the other side and back. He's going to tell us all about it, everything that led up to it. He's got quite a life story, PK.
He's had a couple of lives in one lifetime.
That's a good way to put it.
Yes, he has.
The author of the book, The Key Master, and he's got several more books coming out. And his website is The Reluctant Prophet. TheAccidentalProphet.com. Mm-hmm. So we're going to bring Peter on, and we're going to talk to him about all exciting things that he's doing and the exciting life that he has lived up to this point. And if you guys want to talk to him tonight on the air, you can call in at 888-919-2355. Again, that's 888-919-2355. Or you can join us in the chat room. We are happy to ask your questions to Peter on your behalf. And that address is irnchat.com. That's irnchat.com. Well, let's get this fascinating guy on the show. Peter Anthony, welcome to Supernatural Girls.
Well, hello, PK, and hello, Patricia. So I'll call you P&P. How about that? And I have to say to all your listening audience, thank you so much for tuning in tonight. You know, I know we all have choices. We could be, you know, at home cooking dinner. We could be at the gym working out. And we could be Christmas shopping. So I so appreciate you tuning in tonight and listening to part of my story. So I welcome you.
Very nice. Now, Peter, your life story is pretty amazing. I don't know exactly where you want to start, but how about if you catch us up on some of the drama in your life that preceded your near-death experience?
Well, I want to backtrack. You know, as you guys mentioned, I had a near-death experience, and let's kind of go back just a little bit. First of all, before my near-death experience, I was a completely different person. I was agnostic. I stuttered. I was extremely introverted. I was an extremely gifted artist. I could sculpt, paint, build, sketch, watercolors, anything in terms of creative ability, in terms of artistic talent. I got an art scholarship at the Will Rogers Institution at 17. So I knew right off the bat that special effects was something I wanted to get into. And so in order to do that, I had to get into the union, and I was offered a position as a freelance image consultant with CBS, and I turned it down numerous times, and one of the producers came to me and said, well, you know what, if you're interested in becoming a special effects makeup artist, you've got to get in the union, so what a great way to start. So with that, I jumped on board, and before too long, I went from zero to 60, working with people like Dan Rather and Diane Sawyer when she was with CBS, and Let's Just All Face the Nation, and Bob Schieffer, and even Walter Cronkite, who I, to this day, have the greatest respect for. And in the middle of all the height of my career, I had a near-death experience.
So you were with all the movers and shakers, and you were providing your services for them, and you had the opportunity to meet some really great, great people. And then what happened?
I let a simple misdiagnosis get out of hand. Now, back in the 80s, and especially the mid to late 80s, we were in the middle of the AIDS epidemic, and at that time, the media was hyping everything, and I was having some bleeding episodes and coughing, and I was losing a lot of weight. And, you know, at that point in time in my life, I was scared to face what I thought was a possibility. So I avoided all my doctor's visits and stayed very busy on the road. And then unfortunately in November, on November the 11th, I was rushed to the hospital. And at that time, when I was checked in, they looked at me and saw that I had lost, obviously, lots of weight, and I was bleeding, and I had brown lesions on my torso and on my neck and face, and the inedible took place. And it was a drama. So unfortunately, the medical staff had a hard time. Let's just put it this way. It wasn't an easy night for someone in my condition. If you can imagine the Ebola plague and how our medical staff were treating these patients and our politicians, and, you know, everyone had a whole say so of what was going on with Ebola. Well, this is the same mindset. So, long story short, I was pushed in a corner and began to bleed to death.
So they thought you had AIDS. You maybe could contagious for them, and they didn't want to deal with you.
Well, you know, at that time, no one knew how you contracted AIDS. They didn't know if it was, you know, airborne. No one, if you could touch. Obviously, they knew the blood was disastrous, and I was bleeding. So I was put in a corner by a young nurse and left there and literally called out for help. And if it hadn't been for a wonderful nurse by the name of Betty Sullivan, I don't know what would have happened. But, you know, she saved my life. And she got me to the OR. And that's when things began to take place. You know, obviously we've heard so many stories from NDE experiences such as myself. But, you know, I had reached a critical point. They couldn't keep the IVs in. They couldn't do any blood transfers. I mean, everything was just could have gone wrong, did. And at 11:11 on November the 11th, 1987, I clinically passed. And at the OR, I began to see what they call, I call it the bullseye, they call it the tunnel. But I began to see, I didn't know at the time, but I recognized at that moment these past life spirits or souls from centuries ago that were welcoming into this tunnel. And I learned later on that when you've crossed over in a lifetime after lifetime after each incarnation, and you know, come in at a certain time and you exit at a certain time, when you have learned all your lessons and have pretty much gathered all your karmic, what I call balancing payoffs, you understand that it's not necessary to see in this particular lifetime your current brother and sister and father and mother. And so for me, I was welcomed by my ancient friends, and went into this thing called the tunnel. And it was at this time, this is what's so interesting. I love Patricia Kirkman's, you know, numerology interpretation of today's December the 2nd. But I began to see digital numbers such as 222, triple codes, I call them, immoral codes, 222, 333, 444. And as I was hurling through this tunnel, I also began to see, you know, quantum physics theories, and I was comprehending every mathematical equation, understanding even at that moment, even the 222s and 333s, and you know this, Patricia, back in the 80s, there were no triple codes. I mean, we were learning the basic things of numerology, the basic 1 through 9. So I was understanding all these numbers and what they meant. And then here, and this is for you, Patricia, Kirkman, I began to see the 000.111.00.111.00.11.0.1. So there's a series of zeros and ones. And for those who are listening into this and who know what this code is, we can talk about it a little bit later, but this was a code that it's taken me decades to figure out. And it hasn't been until just recently that I began to understand this code. So as I was hurled into all these geometric phrases and algebraic numbers and what I call triple codes, I went into this thing called our life review. And it, for me, was quite fascinating.
So is this where you actually got to see different aspects of your life that you needed to review and maybe understand that you could have done it differently or better or et cetera?
Yeah. What I want to share with your listeners tonight, and this is very important, there is no judgment. Even at your life review, the shouldas and the couldas and the would-haves that you, you know, that you saw your what you didn't do or what you should have done or you could have done, there wasn't this, oh, you were horrible and you and how shame on you for doing that. It wasn't any of that. In fact, it was the complete opposite. There was so much love and compassion. It's almost as though, you know, your best friend would say, now come on, you could have done a little better than that, and I wouldn't do that next time. Wouldn't you agree? That's kind of the love that you feel and the compassion you feel towards yourself. And so I think it's fascinating for me, you know, when you think about all this refugee and Planned Parenthood and gay and marriages, you know, there is no black or gay or straight or wealthy or poor. It is spirit. And you recognize that and you accept that right off. So for me, the overriding message, and you've heard this, I'm sure, you know, other guests who've been on your show who've talked about their NDEs, the overriding message is love and kindness and compassion. And that these are the necessary things that are what I call the ingredients for saving this planet. So imperative.
So you had this experience where you died and you
right.
were basically bled to death and you flatlined, off you went to meet up with the ancients and then go through these multiple codes, these triple codes. Mm-hmm. And after that is when you had your life review. So what brought you back here?
Well, let's go back to the life review. You are allowed to see your life, and you gather your lessons, and you understand that you know you're given a choice, and this is real important. And everything in this world, in terms of our life and what we do, even tonight, coming in and listening to this radio interview, is all about a choice. And I was given the choice to take a look at my life, where I was going, the conflicts that I would experience, the medical mishaps that I would go through, and also the failed relationships because of my near-death experience. I got a chance to see, you know, the therapists and the priests and the men and women of color who would denounce my experience. I got a chance to see my attempted suicide and the drugs and the life that, you know, I was about to live. Almost like in the Christmas Carol, you know, those. This is what. How important our life is. We do matter. Every moment of our life is a blessing. And I got a chance to understand that. So fast forward, I got a chance to see not only my life and where I was going, but where the planet was going. We as a collective consciousness were going. And how I was able to see in the future. First of all, my gift of numerology and astrology would excel. My gift of artistry would completely fade away, that my starting would go away, that I would be traveling around the globe speaking to thousands of people about my near-death experience, and that I was going to write books. Now, again, this is so odd because, you know, when your life is all about, you know, making the buck and working, you know, and rising up in the film industry and getting to become a famous special effects makeup artist, you know, for me, it was I was conflicted coming back because there was a part of me that wanted to do and saw what I had to do. And there was the other part of me that, oh, just stay with the true and tried. But I couldn't do it. And the more and more they denied me the truth, the more and more I began to follow my path.
So I have a question for you.
Sure.
From the chat room, and it's a good one. They want to know, did you write down this binary code? And if so, what came of it?
Did I write down the binary code? What I did when I began to write and I sat down, I would go from one word and take one word into a sentence and take one sentence into a paragraph, into a page, into a chapter. And when I got into the near-death experience, the codes all came back. And I began to study these codes when I was writing this book. And I remember these codes. And it wasn't until 1992 when I began to see the 1111 all over the place. And it wasn't until the 2000s, in fact, September the 11th, that I began to see the 222s and the 333. So these codes came back. So did I write them down at the time? No. But as I started writing this book, yes.
Okay. So here's the next question they have.
Sure.
Was the binary an abbreviation or was it a message?
I look at it as a message, my understanding of it. Now, everyone has their own interpretation, but for me, the person seeing these codes, it was a message for me. In fact, I call it the moral codes.
Can you tell us more about that? Because this is very interesting. It's very new information.
Mm-hmm. Well, okay, so Patricia Kirkman, obviously you're a numerologist, and what does the number two mean to you?
It deals with partnership, sensitivity, caring for others.
But if you had to describe just in one word that would describe the number two, what would it be? Because I,
peace.
To me, peace. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. 222 is a peace vibrational frequency. And when people are seeing these 222s and they're driving around and all of a sudden they look up and there's a driver's license a license tag that says 222, listen to this audience. What I want you to do is, where are you in thought at that moment? Are you in conflict? Are you in worry? Or are you at a peaceful state of consciousness? Because it is at that moment in time that I now believe in God and the angels and the ascended masters. But at this moment in time, someone is trying to communicate with you about your mission. And in order to achieve that mission, you have to go into this place called peace.
Mm-hmm. Agree.
The 333, fascinating number there. You know, when you think of the number 33, you know, Tesla was very much fascinated with this number. But the 333 is what I refer to as the Christ consciousness number, mm-hmm. the Buddha consciousness, the Avatar consciousness, the Hopi Indian, the Kui Indian. And this is a number that was heralded as a sacred number. And I think of the Christman that died at the age of 33 with a wonderful message for all of us about peace and about mm-hmm. helping your fellow man. So when I see the 333, I know for me, and just again my opinion, I know that the Christ consciousness or the Buddha or the Avatar are speaking to me directly. That's how I interpret it.
I go along with that. And I think also the fact that it deals with the completion. And if we would look at the ability for us to complete our thoughts and to work towards something that's special.
For me, the 333, when I began to write this book, I began to see the 333 everywhere. Mm-hmm. A Federal Express package delivered to the wrong address. It was to go to 333 Geary Street. And I thought, well, it's, you know, or, you know, look up the clock, it's 333, or wake up and it's 333 in the morning. And I would wake up in the morning and would write Keymaster at 3:33 in the morning, and would write until 7:30, and then get on an airplane and travel all around the country. And I did this for 9 years. But every time I would sit down and write Keymaster, and when you those who read this book is coded. So for those who study numerology, I suggest you start from page one and take it all the way to 316. It is coded. And if you pay close attention, especially in the last chapter, you'll read the codes and what they represent for those who are gifted at numerology.
Mm-hmm. Well, it sounds like you're very balanced about approaching a way to work with these numbers, but I do have a question from
Sure.
Star in the chat room, and they would like to know, did these numbers drive you to obsession at any point?
Absolutely not. In fact, the complete opposite. Every time I saw the 333 or the 444, the 222 or the 777, and in particular the 999, mm-hmm. I went into whatever I was doing. An example, if I saw this car in front of me that had the 222 on the freeway, I'd pull over and I'd say a prayer. The same thing with 333. Or I would go into a meeting and I look at the clock as 444. I would say the Our Father. For me, it was the complete opposite. I would stop what I was doing, go into this state of grace and pray and ask that the words and whatever I express today be that of the Word of God.
That's
sounds
beautiful.
That's just how I deal with it.
Because I know a lot of people have called in and talked to you, PK, about the significance of the double numbers, 11, mm-hmm. 22. I see the clock and it's 111. You know, a lot of people have questions about it. So it's mm-hmm. interesting to hear you talk about it tonight, Peter.
Well, the 1111 or 111 is an awakening. And when people are seeing these numbers, and I want to say this, and I'm not trying to divide, you know, those who are seeing the numbers versus those who are not seeing the numbers. But for those who are seeing the numbers, this is a direct conversation, a direct link to you and your consciousness. So pay close attention to what's happening in your life, where your thoughts are, and what's going on in your life. What kind of relationship are you in? Do you need to end that relationship? Are you in your authentic purpose? Are you going towards your you know, as I said, when I say authentic purpose, we're all here for something. And oftentimes what I see in my lectures, people want to do something in the metaphysical world, but they sort of get stuck in their jobs when they shouldn't be CPAs. They should be, you know, holistic healers. And they're afraid to move forward. So when these numbers are before you, what are they saying to you? They are talking to you, so pay attention.
That's great advice. And here's another question. People are very curious about your career. They would like to know, were you an FX artist before this experience or after?
Before. I was studying to become a special effects makeup artist, and my dream at that time, as I said, was to go into special effects, and CBS, in my opinion, at that time, was just kind of a I have to be honest here, it was just a quick way to get in the union. At that time, I said, I don't want to work in the news division. I don't want to work with senators in Congress. And I detested politics. Interesting, I was thrown into the world of politics at a very young age. And to this day, I'm a political junkie. I pay close attention to what's going on. So this FX was during, I lost complete artistic abilities. To this day, I can't even draw a stick figure. Even my penmanship changed. Gosh. And my handwriting. I mean, on left and right hand, I can write with both hands.
That's amazing. Well, now, Peter, we're going to take a short break.
Oh, sure.
And then we'll come back, and we're going to continue this very exciting conversation with you and PK. And again, if you want to call in, folks, you can call in at 888-919-2355. Or join us in the chat room, IRNchat.com. That's IRNchat.com. You are listening to Supernatural Girls Radio. I'm your host, Patricia Baker. I'm here with PK as my co-host, and our guest is psychic medium Peter Anthony. Stay tuned, everyone. We'll be right back.
Listening to IRN, the Inception Radio Network, Chicago, Illinois.
You didn't forget what's coming up tonight, did you? Hi, Inception Radio Network listeners. This is Amanda. Never miss that interview you were looking forward to or the show on your favorite topic. Follow IRN on Twitter, I_R_N, and get reminders about the evening's live shows as well as fun and important updates throughout the week. That's I_R_N, and never miss a great show again.
Hi, can you hear my voice? Imagine how many other people can hear it too. If you have advertising needs, then look no further. The Inception Radio Network currently has openings for on-air advertisements and radio show sponsorships. Given any thought to your target demographic? Inception has you covered there, too. Advertising on a network gives you multiple opportunities to advertise on a wide variety of radio show broadcasts, and we have one to fit every advertising need. You know, in recent years, internet radio has exhibited a phenomenal listener growth. An Arbitron Edison survey shows that online radio boosts at least 33 million unique visitors each week and 54 million each month. And that number amazingly continues to grow. And these listeners are a part of many businesses' core demographics. And surveys have shown that internet radio listeners are far more likely than regular radio listeners to spend money on a whole range of activities. You know, internet listeners vote, they dine out, eat fast food, and they grab a cup of coffee. And here's the interesting one. They buy items online at a much higher rate than all other market segments combined. Internet radio also enables businesses to connect with consumers during work hours, where increasingly more lifestyle decisions are being made. Advertise with the best. The Inception Radio Network offers competitive advertising rates to fit just about anyone's advertising budget. Stop by today at www.inceptionradionetwork.com or call us toll-free at 1-888-919-2355. Get the word out. Get results with the Inception Radio Network.
Are you a fan of Inception Radio Network? Do you reckon it's the best alternative talk radio station on the planet? Well, if you do, head to facebook.com/ Inception Radio Network and like the page. Tell your friends, spread the word, and keep listening to the best.
Hello, Inception Radio Network listeners. This is Amanda. Remember, you can take your Inception Radio shows on the go. Just download the Inception Radio Network app for your iPhone, iPad, or Android smartphones and access live shows, past shows, guest lineups, and much more. Just visit the iTunes Store or the Google Play Marketplace and download it today for free.
Your property tax bill. Have you seen it lately? It's frightening. Your property taxes are going up while your home value is going down. It's time to fight back and win. For the real truth about the property tax system, get attorney Pat Quintilian's book, Are You Getting Screwed on Your Property Taxes? How to Find Out and How to Fix It. Attorney Quintilian answers all your questions and gives you the facts you need to fight a property tax bill that is spiraling out of control. You'll also read about what happens to property owners who don't check their property records, only to find out too late they're taxed on square footage, fixtures, and even buildings that they don't own. Is this happening to you? Learn your rights. Buy attorney Pat Quintilian's book today. Are you getting screwed on your property taxes? How to find out and how to fix it. Available on Amazon.com.
Welcome back, everyone, to Supernatural Girls Radio. I'm your host, Patricia Baker. I'm here with my co-host, Patricia Kirkman, otherwise known as PK. And we're here with our incredibly interesting guest tonight. We're having a very lively conversation about so many important things. Peter Anthony is here with us tonight. He's a psychic medium and the author of the book Keymaster. So welcome back, everyone, to the next segment of our show. PK, did you want to just start this off with some more numerology questions for Peter?
Well, I like the way that Peter was talking about using the numbers and how we relate to them. Peter, when you first started seeing the double digits and triple digits and you started looking at them, were you drawn first to the, quote, old way that we dealt with numbers, or did you start automatically realizing that it had to go forward and grow with what's happening?
Well, I began to... I couldn't get enough numerology. I came back and I had to know what these codes meant. I was driven, so I would just read through hundreds and hundreds of numerology books, anything I get my hands on with numbers. Mm-hmm. But then as I began to progress in terms of my consciousness and began to read books such as Many Lives, Many Masters and Love, Medicine, and Miracles, I began to come to peace with my NDE, this is when the numbers began to appear throughout the license tags, the Federal Express packages. I'd look up at a certain time and there they were. And I began to study the compound numbers. The 11, the 13, the 14, the 15, the 16, the 18, and the 19. And Dusty Bunker is a gifted numerologist who writes heavily about the compound numbers. And I began to interpret these numbers, my own interpretation, if you will, mm-hmm. because my basis of 2 and 3 and 4, the basic complexity of that number or the easy part of that number is still the same. Mm-hmm. But I thought if you're adding 3 of those and 2 and 2 and 2 is 6, then 6, as you know, is ruled by Venus as a Libra trait. Mm-hmm. And so to me, I think of balance and I think of cooperation and I think of peace. And so to me, seeing 3 of those 2s, I thought there's got to be something a little bit more to what I'm reading in the books. So I began to do my own interpretation. And as I began to do my own interpretation, the more and more I understood these numbers, the more and more I began to see them.
Have you written anything just on the numbers themselves?
I've done lectures. Hundreds of lectures on 222s and 333s and 777s and 999s. I'm going to write about this quite a bit in the second book, The Excellent Prophet. Yeah.
Good. That's wonderful. There's not enough of that out there.
There's not. And as I said, I believe Doreen Virtue is one of my favorite numbers lady. I think she really has a good hold and understanding of the triple codes. But there needs to be a lot more of numerologists coming forward with these numbers because, think about what we're doing with numbers. Everything is based on a mathematical principle. Mm-hmm. So if we understand that and live our lives with the vibration of what these numbers are representing to us at that moment in time, especially if you're seeing the triple codes, then there is meaning. And what is that meaning and what are they trying to say?
Now, let me get back to your near-death experience. You basically bled out, flatlined, you died, and you had your experience on the other side. And then what happened? What sent you basically rocketing back into your body? What sent you back here?
Well, there's this what do you call Bordeaux? We Catholics, I'm a former Catholic here, we call it limbo. Who's laughing?
I am. Oh, okay. I've called a renegade Catholic. I'm sorry.
So, you know, there is this truth about, you know, this thing called limbo. And I got a chance, it's called the cleansing station. And this is where I saw what I call these fragments of souls. I call, you've heard me at the lecture talk about feminine consciousness, okay, the importance of women changing or shifting the planet, especially in the late 90s and 2000 and beyond, up to 2022. And I began to understand that these triple codes and these numbers that I was seeing and continue to see had a lot more to do with the shift of consciousness and how important that human kindness and compassion and, you know, sympathy and empathy are so important, giving a helping hand. And so these are the things I learned on the other side, and I began to really work towards that in my own consciousness. I'm real privy to the fact that everything I do say and act upon is a recorded matrix. And I know when it's time for me to check out again, I'll have that life review again. So I'm very, very aware of everything I do, especially my thoughts. And what rushed me back, I got a chance, as I said, to see my life before me. And I knew when I just made a decision, go back, and it's time. I was given a second chance. I knew that. So now,
Let me just ask you this, though, Peter. A lot of people who've had these near-death experiences say when they come back, it is not pleasant. Everything hurts. You know, they died for a reason. It was a traumatic event of one kind or another to the physical body. What was it like for you?
Oh, the same. And, you know, I kind of lightly breeze over this as though it was, you know, I had a mission. But I will say this, exactly 7 years to the day I died, I mean, the relationships and the struggles and just the medical mishaps, I mean, the horrible reactions I had to all the medications, even to this day. So it wasn't an easy path for me. And for those who've had NDEs, you also know that you're not met easily by the men or women of cloth, certainly not by the doctors and the medical staff, certainly not by the therapists. So, and at this time, there was no NDE organization. So I began to read, and I began to rely on my own truth, and I began to just carve my own path. And believe you me, I doubted a lot. And for those who had this happen, you know how much you doubt. Did this really happen? When the experts are talking to you, you begin to think, well, maybe they're right and I'm wrong. But the truth doesn't go away. And I began to see these unusual abilities like remote viewing, and I could read the minds of others, and I would go off into this world of, you know, going to work, and my senses had changed drastically. I talked about this in the lecture in Tucson. I felt like I was an Alaskan wolf. My sense of hearing, my sense of taste, everything was just so much more acute. And so it wasn't an easy path for me. Number one, they gave me 3 months to live. I beat that odds. Number two, they wanted to do radiation. I denied that. Number three, the reactions I had with the medication for years was, even to this day, was horrific. So I began to study and research and began to heal my body with herbs and vitamins.
And what was your actual diagnosis? Because you said it was a misdiagnosis.
At the time, they diagnosed me of having a stomach ulcer due to the stress of the job. And so they were treating me with Tagamet. But they didn't know at the time that I had Crohn's disease, thus the bleeding. And I let it go. Yes.
Okay.
And on top of that, tuberculosis, the coughing.
Oh, my.
Yeah. So, you know, I went in, obviously a broken soldier, and came out a very determined soldier.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. So, yeah. So you had your physical struggles even after you came back. Now, here's a question for you from Sonic Reef. Wants to know, during your spirit travel, did you see anything extraterrestrial?
Yes.
Cool. Tell us.
Once I don't want to say the word finished, but once I got a chance to look down at Mother Earth and see where the planet was going, I was, I say me, but I mean, I couldn't see me, but I was, I guess, in spirit form, looking down at Mother Earth and looking throughout the galaxies. Now, here's where I'm going to kind of shift this conversation. What I experienced, and again, I was agnostic, so I was a, you know, born, raised Catholic with an Italian family, so you know what that's all about. And
I second that.
Okay, you got it?
Yeah.
Oh, and, you got it.
All right. So so I had gone away from that whole concept of thinking, but so we go back to that agnostic way of thinking. So there I am looking down at Mother Earth, and I'm looking at galaxies, and this intellectual being, I could feel the presence of this behind me as though something was traveling through my solar plexus and allowing me, as my arms were extended, even though I didn't see myself and my arms extended, I could see galaxy after galaxy after galaxy. And I began to realize that we're living in a very complex universe and that we are just now beginning to tap into knowledge. And I began to see that there are other planets and other civilizations. And I was stunned by that. I was stunned by the fact that I wasn't asking the questions like, okay, if you're Jesus and you're a God and you're the same person. It wasn't any of that. It was – all I can say was, my God, what an amazing universe, galaxy. The beauty of what I saw out there in outer space was tremendous, beyond words.
Wow, that's quite an experience you had that expanded your consciousness on so many levels.
Big news! The new Sprint LTE Plus network is faster than Verizon and AT&T based on analysis of a recent study by Nielsen. And to celebrate, we're inviting you to join Sprint for the biggest offer in U.S. wireless history. Switch to Sprint and save 50% on most Verizon, AT&T, or T-Mobile rates. Yep, you heard that right. No gimmicks, no tricks. You have Verizon 6 gigs for $60, 30 with Sprint. And if you have 15 gigs for $100 from AT&T, 50 with Sprint. Even if you have T-Mobile's 10 gigs for $80, we'll give it to you for 40. And we won't force you to watch video in low def. Oh, and one more thing. Thanksgiving through Cyber Monday, don't miss the half-price lease on the 32-gig Samsung Galaxy S6, only $9 a month. Visit a Sprint store or sprint.com/save50%.
Offer coverage not available everywhere. Offer discounted phones. Excludes taxes, surcharges, roaming, and premium content. Subject to new line $36 activation fee. Credit valid for it. Galaxy S6 requires 24-month lease for well-qualified buyers. No security deposit. If you cancel, remaining device payments are due. Plans may not be exact match. See website for eligible plans. Offer ends 1/7/16. Savings through 1/8/18. Exclusions and restrictions apply.
Now, you also came back with superpowers, kind of. You know, you could remote view. You could know what people are thinking and feeling. And that must have been a very interesting. At
very
first,
difficult.
And then difficult to manage.
Very
exactly.
Difficult. Because here are, you know, an example I write about this in the book. Once I'm out of intensive care and I'm, you know, listening to the doctors and the nurses and those who were coming to visit me, and the truth of what they were saying and what they really were thinking is it's a burden. To this day it is. But I also began to tap into other dimensions. And this led me to working on paranormal cases and my study of numerology and astrology and my special effects background led me into a murder case. And this is where my whole life changed because of my near-death experience.
Now, how were you called into this murder case?
The homicide detective got word that I was a special effects makeup artist had studied and he also knew that I was gifted at numerology, and he also knew that I was gifted at ancient numerology. So I was called in. I met him in an unmarked car in a mall at 8:30 in the morning, and it was called Test the Psychic, and he asked me a few things, and this is when I began to kind of tap into his thoughts, and he quickly realized that I was the real deal. And so he said, just one more piece of information to let me know that you're the real deal. I said, well, the man we're about to meet, another detective, is very impatient, very hostile, and you're late, and he wants you to be punctual. And of course, oh my God.
It answered it.
It answered it right off the bat. So fast forward. So the other detective gets in the car. The homicide detective that picked me up introduced me. And I'm in the back seat, right? These two are bantering back and forth like bad husband and wife and insulting me. And I'm listening to all this. So, one is saying, you got to listen to this guy. The other is like, I can't believe you've hired this guy. And what are you doing? And it just went on and on and on. We show up at the crime scene, and the opposing officer, or excuse me, the detective opened up the car and said, get out. And I immediately saw the spirit of this man that had been murdered. And it was 5-4-3-2-1, my first case. A duck was led to the lake, and I began to swim. And unfortunately, what had happened, the man that was shot, they claimed to be the victim, really was turned out to be the serial killer.
And, an interesting twist.
Interesting twist, absolutely. And it was the original homicide detective who began to listen to me, and I was met with opposing force from everybody on the crime scene. But was able to see that this man had killed 14 boys. He was a special effects makeup artist. And what had happened, the young boy that he supposedly tried to seduce went home and told his father. Now, the father was already upset because his oldest son had been missing for 14 months.
Yeah, and awful.
No, here comes the twist. The serial killer killed this young boy.
Oh, dear.
Mm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't want to go into the gruesome of the case, but I'll fast forward. I was able to solve this particular crime, and it led me to a world of homicide and finding lost dogs and children. And then at that time, Sightings, which was like one of the number one shows of reality shows back in the 90s, contacted mm-hmm. me, and I did my psychic test at Paramount Studios, and 5-4-3-2-1, I'm in Chicago. And that started my paranormal world.
I have to commend you, Peter, because there are not a lot of psychics who will take on criminal cases. And it's because, what they've told me anyways, is they don't want the images. You know, the images are so gruesome. Yeah. They can't get them out of their head.
You can't get them out of your head. And also understand that when you're working on these cases, you flash back to the murder. It's as though it's happening to you. So you are experiencing the murder.
So this is a very seeing it, you're feeling it then as
you're
well.
You're feeling it, yeah. I mean, imagine your dream state, you know, and you're being chased in a dream by a serial killer, and you're breathing and you're panting and you're fearful and you're worried and you're sweating. You feel every moment of their fear. It's difficult.
It is. And so that's why it's such a challenging field in the paranormal that you're involved with. And I would have to say gold stars to you, because there aren't a lot of people that have your ability that would be willing to do this kind of work. And I think it's very needed. So good for you.
Well, I will say this. I stopped doing the homicide cases when I landed the television series, and I began to travel around the United States working on unsolved crimes and unsolved what we call paranormal cases. And that kind of bumped me up to a whole nother level of gift. So it was and has been, and to this day is still a fascinating part of my life. You know, it certainly is very unique. I don't tell many people what I do, because it's, you know, first of all, the near-death experience is a little overload, and then you add the working on, you know, hi, honey, I'm going to the office at the cemetery, be back later. It just doesn't work that way.
Take your shovel and go, huh?
Yes, absolutely. I'll be a little late tonight, you know. So
tell us about any of your cases that you can think of right now. I know our audience loves to hear about these types of cases, and you have solved so many. Are there any that stand out that you would like to share with us? Okay, go for it.
I worked on Manzanar, where our Japanese American citizens were put in a concentration camp in the 1940s. Mm-hmm. For those who are not familiar with this, and when they basically bulldozed the camp down, all this paranormal activity began to happen. And for those who go into my website, you can actually see the 7-minute segment that I did on this particular case. But I remember when I showed up. The director of the sound, you know, we were filming at 2:00 in the afternoon. And for those who know much about the paranormal worlds, you know, 2:00 in the afternoon is not the right time to do paranormal investigation, because that's, you know, ghosts don't come out until nighttime. That's their daytime. Right. So when you're working with, you know, yeah, when you're working with the crews, they don't seem to get that, you know.
High noon doesn't work, huh?
No. So anyway, but interesting enough, I was able to pick up on this paranormal case from the moment I arrived. And usually what happens, and Patricia Baker and Patricia Kirkman, I know there's a haunting when the night before the ghosts show up in my bedroom at 3 o'clock in the morning. And I know I'm going to a legitimate case. And if they don't show up, then I know I'm not going into a sighting that is particularly haunted. But this particular case, yes, they showed up. And it was interesting. It was Japanese. And I didn't know what was going on because when I arrived on set, no one told me where I was going other than you get on a flight, you're flying to this, that's going to pick you up, and you're going to Death Valley. That's all I knew. So when I arrived, I was given hardly any information other than just do a walkthrough. I did a 30-minute walkthrough, and I had to figure out what went on. And I was very good at doing that. I was called myself a one-take Annie. When I arrived on set, I told the production crew, I showed the sound guy and the director, you know what, we need to get me while I'm on and while the ghosts are here because I'm not going to repeat it. And so we're going for a long shot, and just bear in mind that what you're going to get is the truth. And I'd walk through the site and pick up information, and it turned out to be factual. I remember when I was working on this Manzanar case, there was an officer dressed in suit, and he was very perplexed at me. He was, first of all, a doubting Thomas, as so many of them usually are. Mm-hmm. And he kept following me. He was out of camera. And then I got to one scene in particular at the front of the gate, and I said, I see a man holding a gun, and I see him pulling. I said, I can't tell if it's a rifle or a gun, but I said, I see Japanese citizens rushing this camp, and I said, I see people being murdered. And he began to sob and cry. Now, you don't see this on the video, but he came back after me and told me after we were off, on break and waiting for nightfall, that he was the man that pulled the trigger.
Oh, for heaven's sakes.
Really?
Yeah, and he cried and cried and cried, and the guilt that he had for that. Because, I mean, you know, this was something back then was something kept secret. Mm-hmm. And he was stunned by what I picked up. And this is usually what I do. When I show up on a location or a site, I gather the information. Now, let me give you an education to those who are listening. When I show up, and this is how it works for me. Now, everyone's a little different, but when I show up, I look at things as electrical. Everything's frequency. So can we agree to that? Does that make sense?
Sure. Absolutely.
Makes good sense.
Right. So if something happened in 1944, an example, you go into a restaurant and there a guy walks in or and shoots people and kills everyone in this restaurant, and then the next thing you know, they tear the walls down and they build, let's say, a mall, and all of a sudden the manager's complaining about a ghost showing up, and you find out the history of that was, an example, a restaurant where 10 people were murdered. That recorded murder is an electrical frequency that stays there forever. That does not change. If you go back to the haunted castles and all these caves and even Civil War battlegrounds, that heavily, what I call coded frequency, is recorded there forever. And my job is to pick up that frequency. It's fragments of information. And imagine fast forwarding on a DVD, and you see obviously the images, right? When I first arrive, it's a fast forward on the DVD. I get images very quickly, and the more and more I go into my meditative state, the images begin to slow down. As I walk around, the ghosts show up and appear to me. And that's how I'm able to, I guess, to dissect the case. So it's fast forward, slow down, and then reality. And this is the thing that's fascinating for you guys who are interested in doing this. You have to learn how to use a split-screen reality when you're doing this, because you're in the moment, meaning now, but you're flashing back to 1940, and I'm on camera, obviously, and we're taping, and I'm talking. So I'm actually walking in two parallel worlds at the same time, the 40s and current, giving information, talking to cameramen on my right or my left, and divulging a story that happened in the 1940s all at the same time. And so I'm living in two worlds at the same time.
When you say that the images will always stay there, the electrical impulses, when it's something that's horrendously terrible, we'll just say like the Manson murders that took place in California, will that always be a part of that property, or anyone that's a part of it, will they be absorbed by some of it?
Sometimes it depends if they cleanse it. And, you know, oftentimes they talk about, and I know people say they go with salt and sage and, you know, mm-hmm. supposedly these things remove the spirits. It does not. Sorry to say that. If it's a really strong electrical frequency, it's going to stay there. It's just a matter of how often. It depends on the person that moves into the house. Mm-hmm. You know, it depends on the collective whole that moves into the house, or, you know, in this particular example, they decided to destroy Manzanar. So, mm-hmm. you know, this is sacred ground. So sacred ground was disrupted. Thus the spirit.
There's a lot of factors then when it comes to
blood. Well, every case is different.
Right. What would be done? What could a person do, as you said, if the salt and the sage and such doesn't work? If someone feels that there's an entity around them, what would they use?
You know, this is something that I'm still dealing with, you know, because, you know, like everyone else, I mean, when I show up to these sightings, I mean, the first thing that happens is they attach themselves to me. Mm-hmm. And, you know, my home, I can't begin to tell you, the clocks, I mean, my watches, every time I go off on a case, I have sandwich baggies full of watches that all stop at 11:11 when I go on paranormal cases. You know, they go in and see the batteries and they're all fried. You know, every story is different. Every sighting is different. Every case is different. I'm still trying to figure out what works.
Peter, hold that thought.
Sure.
I think this is a great question for you to answer. I love, PK, that you asked Peter this, because I'm hanging on your every word here. But we're going to have to take a short commercial break in a minute. And again, I wanted to announce the phone number, 888-919-2355, if you want to call in and speak to Peter directly. Again, that's 888-919-2355. You can also join us in the chat room, irnchat.com, irnchat.com. And we are speaking with Peter Anthony tonight. He's a psychic medium, a fascinating psychic medium. He is the author of a new book, and he has several new books coming out, but Keymaster is what we're talking about tonight. Again, we will be right back. Stay tuned, everyone.
Listening to IRN, the Inception Radio Network, Chicago, Illinois.
Hi, Inception Radio Network listeners. This is Amanda. Just a reminder that Inception Radio Network is on Twitter. Follow us at @I_R_N and keep up to date about who's on tonight, what interviews they'll be doing, who's guest spotting, what topics they'll be covering. Tweet to us, tweet about us, retweet topics to your friends, and most importantly, never miss a great show again. That's I_R_N.
A computer? Is your internet connection down? Don't worry. Use your trusty cell phone or landline and call into our listen line at 401-283-6700 to listen to the Inception Radio Network 24/7. Again, that call-in number is 401-283-6700. For the Inception Radio Network, I am MJ.
Hello, Inception Radio Network. Would you like your favorite show to be played again live on air? Well, now the choice is in your hands with IRN's live request portal, an easy way to request your favorite show with a simple click. IRN's live request portal now gives you exclusive access to all the shows. How easy is it? Simply type a show name or a guest name, click request, even write a dedication message, and that's it. Try it now. Simply visit InceptionRadioNetwork.com, click on the live request tab under the show menu. Now playing your favorite show is just a mouse click away.
Are you a fan of Inception Radio Network? Do you reckon it's the best alternative talk radio station on the planet? Well, if you do, head to facebook.com/Inception Radio Network and like the page. Tell your friends, spread the word, and keep listening to the best.
Are you ready for a new experience of freedom and powerful connection? Would you like a positive, effortless change in your life? Then come to CosmicFusion.com, where we offer the most advanced energy clearing and expansion techniques in the world, with a quantum vortex energy to activate your divine blueprint and life's purpose. When your soul leads the way with cosmic fusion and quantum vortex energy, you can break clear of past difficulties and blocks with the power of the source. With cosmic fusion, the source energy does the work for you. It's easy and effortless. Listen to our free meditation right from our Cosmic Fusion website, the Cosmic Code Meditation. Sign up for one of our interactive webinars today. Come to Cosmic Fusion, www.kosmicfusion.com, to experience an effortless awakening and transformation. Are you ready for an upgrade? Are you ready for a new experience of living in the fifth dimensional magic and powerful connection? Then visit CosmicFusion.com today. CosmicFusion.com.
Welcome back, everyone. You are listening to Supernatural Girls Radio. I am your host, Patricia Baker, and I'm here with my co-host, Patricia Kirkman, also known as PK, and our terrific guest tonight, Peter Anthony. He's a psychic medium, the author of Keymaster, and you, Patricia Kirkman, have a question for Peter, and then we've got all kinds of questions in the chat room, so go ahead. Why don't you start it off?
Okay. Peter, you'd mentioned at 3 a.m. that the entity of the person that had passed would come to you. Is it always at 3 o'clock?
It tends to be between 3 and 3:11. I don't know why. That's just for me. It's just, I guess, their way of saying to me, this is legit. And on every case I've worked on, I was working on a case here with Al Capone on the haunting there at a resort. I can't tell you the name of the place because we're still working on this particular case. But he would literally show up in my bedroom at 3 o'clock with a cigar, smoking and talking to me. And it was just very disturbing. But always at 3 o'clock for some reason, or between 3 and 3:11. Yes, it's standard for me.
I was curious to see how that worked out. And the other question that I had for you was: we were talking about, is there anything that one can do to alleviate, shall we say, entities that are around them?
That's a loaded question, and I wish I had the answer or the correct answer to that, because you know, obviously I'm, you know, the person who's on these cases, you know, quite a bit, and I still have yet to find anything. I will say this, you know, it's going to take a lot more than salt and a lot more than sage and a lot more than prayer, because a spirit is there for a reason. And they haunt, and this is where I differ with so many different paranormal investigators, especially other shows that are on sci-fi. You know, they say that ghosts do not haunt people. I disagree, because they go after certain types of personalities, a more sensitive soul. And it's because if you think about the children, you know, when we are, you know, raised, I mean, we are in this creative mind state up until we're 7. And then we begin to go into this, you know, right brain way of thinking of logic and methodical, you know, and everything's pragmatic. And we kind of lose that. And the more sensitive kids and the more sensitive adults are usually the ones that the spirits tend to speak to.
Is that also, say, children that feel that they have little playmates, shall we say?
Yes.
Are those,
Uh-huh. Yes, yeah. And, you know, women, I tend to, you know, even if you watch the movies, they are the ones who tend to, you know, the doubting husband, well, you know, there's not a ghost, I don't believe in ghosts. And they're, oh, my God, I just saw him. And he's, women are blessed with an intuition, the female intuition. Mm-hmm. And women are pretty much 99.9% gifted with their intuition. So when I talk to a husband or a wife, I listen to the wife first.
Oh, that's good to know.
Yeah.
I love that kind of talk.
Yeah, she's got the goods.
She knows what's going on. She's the one that's feeling the energy. The man's thinking about, well, this is not possible. I don't believe in ghosts. And, you know.
That's so funny. Well, here's the question for you from the chat room. Somebody would like to know if you are related to the psychic John Anthony.
No, who's John Anthony? Should I know him? I think I like him already.
Okay, so the answer is no to that.
No.
And here's another one. Have you ever had visions of a murder taking place before the crime was committed and reported it to law enforcement? Yes, huh? Tell us.
Well, okay. Well, now the last part, no. And I'll go into my whole Walmart thing here in a second. I was on my way to work, driving down Sunset Boulevard. I never know when these, what I call my frequency, is going to pick up information. On my way, 9 o'clock in the morning, listening to the radio, Sunset, for those who know anything about Los Angeles, I'm in Sunset going towards On Fountain, towards La Brea. La Cienega, and I see this car, a police officer approaching in his car, the lights hurling, and within seconds, I mean, and he's probably 5 or 6 blocks away on the opposite side of the road, I already see the murder going on. It's a woman, and we have someone who's an intruder who's coming in with a knife and is going towards her. I'm seeing this visually as I'm in my car, and as he passes me, everything goes in slow motion, and I'm, you know, hearing, you know, the address and where he's going, and I could hear the woman. It was just, it was horrific. So yes, I do get images way, way before they happen, and this is rather grueling for my, I have nightmares about these things continually. But here's a good example. I have gone into Walmart, and you know, when you go into Walmart and you see these missing kids or missing adults, you know, I get images that are horrible, and I know who's passed and I know who's alive. And, you know, you have to understand, you know, for someone like me to call in, the police and say, hey, I know where so-and-so is, it just doesn't work that way. And especially in small towns, you know, what I do is still not mainstream. So It's not like that people are going to listen to me. It's not like the officers are going to listen to me. And I'm still met with opposition.
Yeah, plus you don't want to be on the hot seat. I've seen other psychics get put on the hot seat. And you're like, well, how do you know this? You must be guilty of something. It just turns into a nightmare.
Well, and not only that, I mean, you can imagine, you know, turning on the television, I'm watching the debates and I'm seeing the truth. I turn into, you know, the night shows. And I remember years and years ago, I was watching the Joan Rivers show, and I knew that Edgar was going to die months before he was going to pass. I get images all the time, and for some reason, they tend to come to me, and I share them with my friends, and that's about it.
Now, do you offer private sessions?
I do.
Tell us about that, Peter, and how people can get a hold of you in case they would like to work with you.
Well, you can go to my my website, and you can leave me a message. It's called theaccidentalprophet.com. So again, theaccidentalprophet.com. Send me a message. I have clients all around the world, and I do phone sessions, and we use PayPal. And the first session is usually an hour and a half. It's quite an intense session. I do an Akashic reading, and so it's you know, it's not your typical reading. I'm not the person that's going to tell you that you're going to get married, and you're going to meet the love of your life, and that you're going to go to the junior league ball and meet the love of your life. That's not who I am. My job is to get you why you're here on this planet and what you chose and what your balancing points are and to get you to the correct freeway. That's what I do for a reading. And it's pretty involved.
Sounds fascinating. Yeah. Absolutely fascinating.
Well, I look at, you know this as a numerologist, you know, when you do someone's chart and you find the missing numbers of the name, mm-hmm. You know every letter in that name is a previous lifetime vibration.
Right.
So an example, the P, you know, this tells me right off both of you have come back here to release what I call religious dogma and to really concentrate on something more higher purpose, higher learning, higher education, something more liberal in terms of your consciousness as opposed to something dogmatic. Just off the name, there's also letter P, which is the number ruled by the number 7. Higher learning, higher consciousness is ruled by Sagittarius. A is about leadership and going off the beaten path and doing what you want to do. And then the T is about peace. And you go on and on and on and on mm-hmm. down the alphabet until you come up with what I call a sum total.
I agree. It's very fascinating. I love hearing and taking a look at the different things that as you see them, because every time our eyes are open to something different, I love it.
Well, I look at compound numbers, which are very important, the 11 and mm-hmm. 13. An example, you show the day to be a 4. I show it to be a 13-4. And the 13-4 is a compound number. And 13 mm-hmm. in numerology, you know, is about crime. When I show up on a site, the first thing I look at is the address.
Mm-hmm.
The first thing I look at is the address. So if it's a 13, if it's a 15, or if it's a 16, I know I have an actual haunting, because these are the numbers that for me, I identify that we have a legitimate case.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
That's, like I said, I find it absolutely fascinating when we're working with so many different things, and yet they prove truthful every time just by looking at the numbers.
Well, math is an exact science. I mean, 1 and 1 equals 2. It does not equal 44. And so if you understand, even in astrology, the longitudes and the latitude, we're not guessing. It's an exact science.
Mm-hmm.
And when you take the letters of the name and you take the numbers of the birthday, this digits to a sum total, and this sum total is your life path. You know, your challenges, your obstacles, your balancing points, and your karma.
Well, it'd be certainly interesting to have a reading from you.
Oh,
yeah. We got to get on your list here.
That's for sure. That is for sure.
Now, one thing I want to address, since I brought this up about karma, and this is something, too, I find as I've traveled throughout the country, and, you know, people talk about karma. Oh, it's your karma. You know, karma has kind of a bad rap, and I want to quickly address this. Karma basically is a balancing point. We've come back with opportunities to balance out something from a previous lifetime. So an example, I discovered in my past life that I was a raging alcoholic and that I never completed my writings. And so in this lifetime, my balancing point was to come back and to become a writer. So that's called karmic balancing. It's mm-hmm. not payback. It's about doing your duty to fulfill something, the perfection of the soul. And each and every one of us comes back, and you know, we come back wealthy to understand what it's like to have the wealth of the purse. We come back poor to understand what it's like to lack. And the only way you can understand both sides of the coin is to experience it.
Well, I'm glad to hear you say a different definition of karma, because I've just recently have listened to some other erudite people in the same vein, and they've also mm-hmm. said, you know, this whole notion of being here is to learn hard lessons, it's a school. Well, that's a possibility, but their perception is, well, I'm here to have fun. And in a good way, you know, in a heartfelt mm-hmm. way. I'm not talking about self-indulgence and drugs and alcohol and going wild and crazy that way. I'm talking about having fun in a joyful, light way where you are connected to spirit, connected to your heart and other people. Mm-hmm. And that's how they see it. And I thought that's very interesting. I kind of like that word.
Connected, connected to your purpose, your authentic purpose. That's what I saw on the other side. And I'm sure there are people out in your listening audience who really want to do something, but there is this thing called, you know, financial independence or lack of financial independence, and they're afraid to do something because, you know, well, if I leave my job as an accountant, I want to be a healer, I may not have a client. Well, to me, that's a lack of consciousness, and so the opposite of that is to believe in your thought, and if you have an authentic purpose, and if you're tapped into it, and you're certainly coming from a place of gratitude, you'll find an authentic purpose. And, you know, I always say, if you're a writer and you're writing a good story and it's coming from a place called intent, you'll have a great audience. Just write. If you're a writer, write. If you're a dancer, dance. If you're a healer, heal. Do that.
Right. get there and know what your soul's desire is. Oh, here's another. This is a very interesting question from our chat room. I love our audience.
Love them too. The great questions,
so smart,
by the way.
They are a smart audience. And here's one for you. Has the thought ever crossed your mind that you share the same job as the Reaper?
Ooh, that's a question and a half.
It is.
Well, okay. So let me give this thought. I need to understand this person a little bit better. So your identification, or you're identifying with the Reaper as the person of calling of death, right? I would assume. I don't look at it that way. I look at it as though I'm the person here that's just kind of guiding you to a different direction, you know? So I don't know. I'm going to have to really give that some thought. I don't know that I can answer that just correctly just yet.
Okay.
But I like the question, though.
I know. It's really
I may come back to that. I need to give that a thought, because that's a powerful question, and I want to give it a powerful answer.
All right. Well, here's another question. They want to know, you are clinically dead, heart dead or brain dead?
Heart dead.
Okay. That was an easy one. And here's a question on the numerology information. Something I have never understood with numerology. When working with dates, for me today is 3/12/15, date, month, year. For you guys, it's 12/3/15, month, day, year. So does numerology take into account the different types of dates?
Yes and no. First of all, we have to look at the 12, because that's the number of, this is the 12th month. Got it? So don't digit it down to 3 just yet, because the 12 means something. We're in the 12th month. We're in the second day. We keep the number 2 as it is. We take the year 2015 and what digit to the number 8. So I add the 12, the 2, and the 8. And that's how I do it. Mm-hmm. And now, again, that's how I do it. Now, I think if you're doing it this way, this is how you learn the compound numbers, by the way. If you learn the number 12, because the number 12, if you're digiting it down, you're kind of missing the overall writing message of the number 12. So learn the numbers all the way from 1 to 99. It's important.
It really is, and it's surprising. A lot of people don't think about that. But for a quick fix, when you're talking to people, I hate to put it this way, you kind of dummy down and just go to the single digit.
Well, they do, and I agree with you. They do dummy it down, and you should not dummy it down because, you know, as I said, if you learn, you know, the 11 and the 12 and the 13 and the 14, each number means something. It's there for a reason. And then, as I said, as you begin to understand these double numbers, then you go into the triple numbers.
Now, Peter, we talked off the show yesterday about a case you're working on right now.
Yes. I'm working on two cases. I'm working on a haunted toy store and a haunted resort, meeting opposition from everybody. So fast forward to the toy store. So I heard about the toy store. I walked in, and as soon as I walked in, literally at 12 o'clock, this little girl showed up. Teenagers are working at this little toy store, and they are scared. The manager is, I think, 18. The others are like, you know, 13 and not 13, 14. And so, you know, it's they're scared. But fast forward to this. So the owner of the store doesn't believe in ghosts, so he forbids me to be there. So I'm sneaking in, trying to help these teenagers out because the chairs are moving. The bicycle, the little girl that rides her bike to work, she goes outside and the bicycles turn upside down. I'm walking in trying to identify the spirit. And I said, we need to find a name. And I'm going to the restroom, and I'm passing this area where there's barrettes and little purses and keychains. And as I'm walking, this barrette throws itself in front of me, and there's the name Becky. And so I knew right off the bat the girl's name was Rebecca. And then, boom, the activity started. So it's a little difficult because, as I said, there are paranormal things going on. Like the girls show up. All the toys are turned upside down off the shelves. Music is on. The little girl is trying to get the attention of one of the employees there. I discovered that the young boy who was kind of antagonizing the girls there was being probably more tortured by the spirit than the other employees. And he, in fact, all the employees except one have gone. They've left. And it's a very challenging store because there are too many unusual paranormal things that are going on that are just – that are a little freaky, that even in my world, it's a little too odd. But I went into my remote vision and I saw that this was a post office back during the 1900s. And after I gave that information, it was the next day that the girl, the manager came back and called me on the phone, "You've got to come here." The closet upstairs, which has been locked for decades, was open. And all the pictures of the 1900s were on the counter.
For heaven's sakes.
Yeah. And the little girl that died there, and her brother and her older brother, who died in World War I. So they are haunting this little store. Fast forward to the next location. It's a haunted resort, Al Capone. I was out there 3 or 4 weeks ago, and this one kind of freaked me out. This is probably about 6:30, 7 o'clock in the evening, dusk going on towards, you know, dark time. And there's a corridor where supposedly guests say this is where they see images of Al Capone. All right, fine. He came to me 3 o'clock in the morning, and I was out there daytime, and I could see him smoking a cigar on the balcony. I went into this corridor, and Patricia K and Patricia B, something grabbed my shoulder and squeezed it so hard, and I could smell the breath of someone. And the paranormal investigator I was working with was a woman. She freaked out and ran out the corridor. Fast forward.
Big help she was.
Well, you could feel the presence of something not so kind there, and you could smell the breath of a cigar. And blue orbs began to appear all around me. And this is, you know, in a dark corridor. Anyway, what I discovered was that he murdered a prostitute at gunpoint there, and I saw the actual vision of this young prostitute being hunted down by Al Capone and being shot, and then end of image. So, and again, this is a resort, a very well-known resort, and what I discovered were three bodies that were buried near the pond.
And, for heaven's sakes.
Yeah. So these are bodies that were buried back in the 30s that I discovered, and they won't, we can't go in there and obviously dig this up. You know, what are they going to do? Listen to me? Yeah, the psychic says three dead bodies are near our pond to get up.
Now, would there be hauntings from those bodies that are there for the people that come to visit?
Yeah, they're hauntings there. And guests have seen these spirits in the hallways. Furniture moves. Orbs appear. You know, mist of clouds appear. The temperatures drop. And they deny. The hotel denies.
So that's what you're talking about. And it's important for people to know that not all places and owners are interested in this kind of phenomena, and they don't care. So they
It's going to hurt business.
Business.
Yeah,
that's
absolutely.
Exactly. Business.
It's business. Yeah, it comes down to the almighty dollar. So, you know, I go in, you know, with the odds against me at some of these resorts and some of these businesses. And, you know, and again, you know, I show up and they look at me as the man who had the encounter with Bigfoot. So they don't listen.
When you see orbs, Peter, are they always in one color? You mentioned blue. Are they in other colors as well?
Yes.
That you see?
Yes. Yes.
Is there? Absolutely. Do the colors mean something different?
Yes.
What?
Blue is spirit. Gold is heaven, or heavenly, actually, or divine.
Mm-hmm. So they're blue or gold.
Mm-hmm. But I have seen purple. I've seen pink. I've seen amethyst. I've seen powder blue. I've seen rectangles. Are you familiar with synesthesia?
I can't think at the moment. No.
Okay. Are you Patricia Baker? Familiar with synesthesia? Okay.
Yes.
I have that ability.
Explain that to our audience.
I'll break it down. I'm able to see auras. An example. I'm at 444 Ramon Street. Mm-hmm. I'm looking at my clock, and it's 3:33. at that moment in time, I am seeing auras and streams of color wrap around the trees and wrap around the street, and I see these streams of colors going out to the hemisphere. So that's the only way I can kind of break it down. They say that mentally challenged or handicapped children or Down syndrome children have this gift. And so for some reason, I came back with this gift. And I see these colors frequently. This seeing auras of Mother Nature, of animals, of trees, of the mountains, of even the sidewalks.
So all of this gives you more information. I mean, it's a way of communicating with the energy systems around people.
Absolutely. So just said it. It is an energy system around the, everything that is a living matter is connected to source.
Right. Mm-hmm. So you get that information and you know how to interpret it,
absolutely,
which is a very valuable gift when people want readings and information about where they're stuck or whatever's going on in their lives. It's very helpful to have that kind of a gift.
I think so. I've been very blessed. It was the first 7 years was a challenge, but once I stood in my truth and said, you know, I don't care what these naysayers are saying, I'm going forward, and I haven't stopped. You know, I have to say this. When I began to write this book, I certainly was not a writer when I began to write this book, but I just would take one word and try to expand upon the word. I was supposed to be at the World Trade Center on September the 11th, 2001. I was doing a lecture for Celebrity Endeavors. And everything that could have happened to me, the flat tire, the overturned truck, getting to New York City, was a disaster. And I wasn't aware that the towers were going down. I left the airport, was a little miffed. I was the keynote speaker. And when I got, I went to the gym immediately to work out to get rid of the tension. And my friends reeled me into the television room, and I saw the World Trade Centers going down. It was at that moment that I realized that I had purpose, that I had to write this book, and I would never walk in the shadow of a naysayer ever again. And I haven't stopped.
Excellent.
Good for
Thank
you.
God for us.
Yeah, exactly. And it's a great lesson for everybody, because I know even though here we are on Supernatural Girls, where paranormal is normal, that's our tagline, mm-hmm. it still is considered out there by some people. And I think they're really missing out, because I got news for everybody. This is your ticket to freedom right here.
Mm, absolutely.
And if you just want to think it's a one-dimensional reality, you are going to be trapped forever.
Miss so much.
I have to say, and I have to say to both of you, Patricia Kirkman and Patricia Baker, thank you for making a difference on this planet, because for years and years and years, no one would give me the chance to share my story. It was women that began to listen to me and to understand. And as I've climbed up this ladder, have left one industry behind me and have gone in to become a paranormal expert, I have to say, if it weren't for women, I would not be here.
We love you.
Sounds wonderful.
I mean it.
Peter.
So thank you.
You are so welcome. And thank you, Patricia Kirkman, for bringing Peter to us to be on our show. Unfortunately, we've run out of time. We only have a few seconds left. But again, everybody, get Peter's book, Peter Anthony, and his book is Keymaster. Peter, tell us your website one more time real quick.
TheAccidentalProfit.com. Go. Buy the book. It has a great Christmas story. You'll love, you'll care, and you'll cry.
Yeah. We will be back next week with another show. Until then, stay safe, and we will see you on the Blue Highway. Good night, everyone.
Good night, dear.
Big news! The new Sprint LTE Plus network is faster than Verizon and AT&T based on analysis of a recent study by Nielsen. And to celebrate, we're inviting you to join Sprint for the biggest offer in U.S. wireless history. Switch to Sprint and save 50% on most Verizon, AT&T, or T-Mobile rates. Yep, you heard that right. No gimmicks, no tricks. You have Verizon 6 gigs for $60, 30 with Sprint. And if you have 15 gigs for $100 from AT&T, 50 with Sprint. Even if you have T-Mobile's 10 gigs for $80, we'll give it to you for 40. And we won't force you to watch video in low def. Oh, and one more thing. Thanksgiving through Cyber Monday, don't miss the half-price lease on the 32-gig Samsung Galaxy S6, only $9 a month. Visit a Sprint store or sprint.com/save50%.
Offer coverage not available everywhere. Offer discounted phones excludes taxes, surcharges, roaming, and premium content. Subject to new line $36 activation fee. Credit valid for Galaxy S6 requires 24-month lease for well-qualified buyers. No secure deposit. If you cancel, remaining device payments are due. Plans may not be exact match. See website for eligible plans. Offer ends 1/7/16. Savings through 1/8/18. Exclusions and restrictions apply.